Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infragistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. Okay, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. I'm really excited to have Raji Bhattini here. He's chairman and CEO of Media Mint. And he's got quite the history of running a lot of interesting companies for Accenture and dealing with a lot of people in the tech industry. And but why don't you introduce yourself and talk about the company you're running now?
Dean, thanks for having me. Like you said, my name is Raji Bhattini. I'm the chairman and CEO of Media Mint. I have spent all my life working with large enterprises driving digital transformation and business transformation. You know, this is when I was in Accenture. I spent a lot of time in Accenture, where in my last role, I was the chief technology officer for Accenture's communication, media, and technology business. So in that role, I was responsible for working with global corporations, primarily in the telecom, media, entertainment, and technology space, helping them with transformation. And then I also, prior to that, I also ran Accenture's business for a number of large software platform companies, such as Google, Meta, when they were going through a significant amount of growth. When I left Accenture, I took on a role of CEO of a SaaS company, so where it was a developer platform, and I was responsible for growing that. So I'm based in San Francisco, and it's a pleasure to be on this call.
Yeah, amazing, amazing journey. So yeah, as you said, you spent like decades running, leading technology, strategy, organizations. So now at Media Mint, like, how has your journey shaped your leadership philosophy around data, AI adoption at scale?
Yeah. So Dean, maybe I can step back and talk a bit about Media Mint, because in order to answer the question. But at Media Mint, this company was founded in 2010. The company was focused more on operations. So unlike a consulting or advisory company, the focus of this organization was to work with primarily media companies and entertainment companies and help them go drive revenue. So when the company was founded, it was focused more on the ad ops and the programmatic space. And then since then, it's expanded to cover all things growth. So today at Media Mint, we work with over 200 companies. And with each of these companies, we will run either their sales, their marketing, their media operations, or the data and engineering functions. But we come in with an operator mindset. So when you, to your question around data, what we believe is that for data to be valuable, it has to be positioned in a manner where, from an operations perspective, you can do something about it and you take action about it. And that's the focus that we have. You know, whether with regards to the platform that we recently launched, it's called Media Mint Intelligent Assistant, or the work that we do with our customers in terms of bringing all of the data together and allowing the data to talk be actionable.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. And so, yeah, you guys really focus on AI and operational execution, like you just described. And like, how are you guys applying, you know, agentic AI versus some of the, you know, traditional AI tools? And what's the distinction that matters for enterprise leaders?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of FOMO around agentic per se. And like you're mentioning in your question, everything doesn't need to be agentic. It could be, certain things could be automation, certain things could be just machine learning, certain things could just be rule-based innovation or process-based innovation that could be done. But the approach that we've taken, because we work with a lot of customers where we are working in the trenches with them, running their operations, a year and a half back, we declared to ourselves that we will take accountability of bringing in agentic, whether it's machine learning, but we will bring in a platform that can drive significant productivity and efficiency improvement for those operations, and it allows our customers to go and ring the bell. The approach that we took, Dean, was a bit different. So the approach we took was more persona-based. So when we look at any organizations, there is a whole host of software that sits inside the organization. So instead of waiting for each of these platforms to become agentic or become, adopt machine learning and the agentic platforms, what we decided is to take a persona-based approach where for every role that's there in the company, we decided to create an agentic assistant that would work side by side with that particular role, surround that particular role with all of the activities that are being done, and drive significant efficiency improvement around it. So in a way, it becomes an operational glue in terms of what needs to be done. There are a few things that we made sure that we stay away from doing. So we stayed away from becoming a system of record or a system of transaction, because when you start to do that, you start to impact different systems, and then it starts to create conflict. In a way, we became system of operations, where for that particular role, you could come in and you could go and drive efficiency. For example, I'll just give an example, but when you look at a publisher or a company that's making money through ads, there is a role of a media planner. So the media planner will work with the sales organization, will work with customers, and come up with a media plan, just like how one would come up with a financial plan or a supply chain plan. They will come up with a media plan on how the spend that the brand is doing on the site could drive the right level of return on ad spend. So historically, the way media plan was being done was pretty manual. Oftentimes it could also sit in Excel sheets. There are a whole host of systems that are involved. So that's bulk of the work that the media planner does. In addition, the media planner will also work on understanding the customer, looking at past performance, engaging with different stakeholders, internal and external. So we've created an agentic assistant which not only drives use of GenAI for creating the media plan, but it also surrounds the media planner on all of the other tasks that needs to be done and brings significant efficiency. So if I now want to understand the past performance of the campaign for that particular brand over the last many years, I can use my, agentic assistant to get an understanding of that and then take an action. If I want to come in and understand what the competitors are doing, I could do the same thing. And of course, if I want to create a media plan, then it'll allow me to go and do that in a manner where you're using agentic first with human in the loop, so that at any point in time, the media planner has control with regards to what's being done. Dean, we've seen between 30 to 70% improvement in efficiency across different types of work that needs to be done just in this case. And it's the same across all of the work that we're doing across any other workflows.
Yeah, that's pretty really cool. You kind of answer the question, but it's also like, where do you see things going in the future? So a lot of people building out agentic software, it's like, how far do you let it go and execute, get things done, talk to other AIs before you bring the human in the loop? And I'm just curious where, because there's a lot of trust, and it depends upon what you're automating, what kind of intelligence you're trying to build in. But where do you see this evolving in the next couple of years, 2 to 3 years? How much will humans have to be in the loop? How much will you want to have a user interface? And where do you see, maybe even categorically, this kind of whole workflow evolving, where you're letting the AI do work, but when do you bring the human in? How do you create trust? And I think it's something that we're all really grappling with.
So I'll probably give the answer in two ways. I'll give the answer with regards to the company, and I'll give an answer with regards to anyone that wants to work with a company from the outside. I think that with regards to an organization, in my mind, it's very clear that the humans will always be in the loop. So whenever, because when you're making a decision and that decision is extremely critical, then someone needs to be accountable for it. If you're making a buy, if you're making a decision that has a significant impact on revenue or cost, it becomes really hard to make it autonomous, unless, and without having someone take accountability for that. So I think that it's always going to be in a situation where we will have agentic drive efficiency, effectiveness, speed, and so on. But at the end of the day, it's the human that keeps control of it. In a way, you're making human superhumans from that perspective. But I think that's pretty clear. It amplifies the humans versus trying to compartmentalize and segregate the two. That's one part. When you look at companies which are working with organizations, now whether you're a SaaS company, whether you're a consulting company, whether you're an operations company like us, I believe, and I've had a chance to play a role across each of these companies, in my past experience, I believe that the world is going to move towards what we are calling a service as a software model, where where the organization that's coming in to work with customers has to take accountability for the outcome or the end result by bringing in both technology as well as humans and driving significant efficiency as a part of that. Now, of course, there are organizations that would want to build their own stack. In those situations, it is important for any of the partners to co-innovate with them versus just bringing in a particular stack and starting to get in conflict with it. So I believe that the world's going to move towards a service as a software model where you have an organization that's bringing in tech, but they're not just giving the technology and walking away, because the real magic lies in adoption, as we know. So they're also taking accountability for driving the adoption, running the operations, and demonstrating a clear business benefit and ROI for that particular initiative that's being run.
So yeah, I actually wrote a question around that, and you answered some of it, but still, I'm just trying to understand, like, because I've heard you talk about the future being service as a software rather than SaaS, and AI systems are accountable for outcomes, not just tools. But how should like an executive reframe their investment or value expectation accordingly around all of this?
Yeah, I think from an organization perspective, when they are taking an initiative to transform their organization or transform their function using whether it's agentic or the tech stack, either they're doing this on their own or they're using different partners in order to do so. So I think as far as the individual is concerned, when I look at my organization, we have a number of initiatives underway, not just from a marketing perspective, but we are transforming our organization using agentic too. So when I think about our support functions, whether it's HR, whether it's finance, there are a whole host of functions that are there in running a company. So from my perspective, I'm driving initiatives with our leaders to transform that function. From that perspective, it's our accountability to do so. But when we bring in a partner, then I think it's important for us to understand how far will the partner go. Is the partner going to come and give a piece of technology and walk away? Is the partner going to be responsible for achieving the outcome? Because there's a difference between implementing a SaaS software versus using agentic. It's a completely different technology. There are significant amount of considerations that are required with regards to how this particular platform that's being deployed will change over time, whether it's based on the innovation that's taking place on the foundation models, whether it's changes that are taking place with regards to business, what happens with data that's coming in and is being used for contextual understanding of the function and workflow that needs to be done, and what part of your application is deterministic versus probabilistic, and how does that move? So I think, from that perspective, I think as a leader, at the end of the day, we know that we want to catch the wave and we want to make sure that we can leverage it and strategically integrate AI into the workflows. But then how we engage with others depends upon how far these partners are ready to go. It's partly part of the core value of that particular company. And then does it play a role in terms of making the initiative successful?
I'm curious, like from your point of view, like how do you see like the workforces and the economy just evolving? A lot of the LLM providers, like it's going to replace all these, roles in the industry or in the marketplace. And today, like I see it augmenting as a tool, working along with different departments and roles and responsibility in the enterprise. And there's the whole trust factor too, that, because it's a probabilistic outcome and it could always be a little bit different. But like, what's your point of view on the economy and how things will evolve, like in terms of job loss or, it's a, like everyone has a different point of view there. And I think maybe you have a probably more grounded view since you've run so many companies and you're not raising a $500 billion in capital, so that you don't have to say how AI will take over the world,
Yeah. Dean, I will be absolutely guessing if I have to predict what's going to happen in the next year or 2 years or 3 years. But what we know is that the rate of innovation is massive when it comes to core technology. When you start to think about, I'll give a few dimensions. When it comes to how fast the foundation models or the stack is moving, we know that that rate is significant. It is, whether you talk about Moore's law, it's completely undermining the speed at which that could be done too, as an example. But that's one part. So you've got the technology moving pretty fast. Then you look at how that technology can be adopted inside the organization. You look at two things, right? One is you look at the people who are responsible for doing so. There is a massive amount of change or change management that people need to go through in order to do that, you know, because it's one thing about having technology, it's another thing on taking that technology within an enterprise and then making an impact out of it. Consumer and enterprise, we know, move at a completely different pace in terms of, you know, the adoption of this particular technology. But I think that's the second thing. You know, I talk about, when you look at an organization, I talk about this concept of a frozen middle. So when you think of an organization, there are three layers. If I just simplify the organization, you've got the senior leadership, which is the C-suite. You've got people who are doing the work, and then you've got the middle management that's interfacing between the people who are doing the work and the C-suite. Now, we know that when it comes to the senior leadership, they've drank the Kool-Aid. And as far as they're concerned, they want to adopt the technology as fast as they can. When you look at the people who are doing the work, these are folks who come in every day, whether it's in person or virtually. They keep their heads down and they have to work on their function. And these are mission critical things that need to be done, which cannot go wrong, right? And so how fast you can change them and what it means for them is a big question. And then you've got the middle management that has to respond to what the senior leadership is saying, but they also understand that the work needs to be done, you know, because if you're not driving a sale, if you're not making, you know, you're not manufacturing the right level of products, you're not driving your function in a manner, then the business is going to get impacted. So how do you make sure that you can go and impact this organization in a meaningful manner and drive change, will drive the adoption? You know, that's the second thing that I think about. And I think honestly, the third thing is the easy doors have been broken. You know, when you think about customer service or customer success, and you look at how agentic could be used to resolve queries and extinguish tickets or extinguish requests that are coming in. But as you start getting into complex workflows, I think in those cases, it's important to strategically integrate AI into the workflows so that one could actually have a meaningful impact. But then again, be responsible and know that the magic and the outcome is going to happen with operators, people who are doing the work. You know, so I look at it from that perspective. I think to your point, what's going to happen? I mean, we know that the work will be different. We know that the efficiency will be different, and we know that skills will evolve over time as organizations are able to realize the adoption of this platform and then look at how they can grow their business as a part of that.
So from a, like a macro perspective, do you like align with like some of these tech CEOs are saying, or do you have, it sounds like you have a little bit of different perspective, like on the ground perspective, that there's change management, there's people in the loop, and it'll evolve, but or I don't want to put words in your mouth, like what do you think the macro view is on how things will evolve
No.
economically, jobs wise, sector wise?
Just like with any other transformation and inflection point that's taking place, the way work is being done and what is required to do the work will evolve over time. Now, the pace of evolution will depend upon how fast that technology can impact that particular business. Some business may be impacted quicker, some business may take a longer amount of time. If you just take an example of, if I give a consumer view, I remember going into one of the Google offices and looking at a Waymo concept and car 15 years ago. And it's now still being deployed in a few cities, right? And it's a great, great innovation, but it's still not completely, you know, it's not peripheral and it's not being implemented across the whole country, forget the whole globe. So I think the technology is going to come in. But the way in which it's going to be adopted and how it's going to be impacted is based on specific industries. And I do believe that the skill sets will change and what's going to be required will be different. And it'll also allow companies to come in and drive different types of growth and impact and products, you know, and that will allow the company to shape what it means for each of the individuals. Now, I can tell you for everyone, for example, in our company, we are encouraging everyone and we are shepherding everyone to become AI first, because that's important. You know, so same thing with regards to every individual, whether you're part of an organization or you look at yourself as an individual professional, you want to make sure that you can adopt and learn and skill up on what it means, because we know that this is a wave that's you know, it's the train is, you know, the train is progressing, it's left the station, and it's picking up pace every single day in terms of where.
Yes. So I've recently spent some time talking to a lot of young kids like that are getting ready to go into college, trying to decide if they should go to college or they're in college and they're like, what should I study? And what kind of advice do you have for these young kids?
I have a son who's a senior and he's just graduating
Oh,
from
good. So you're
and
thinking about all this.
when you look back at each of these phases, when we look back at when like I was graduating, did I know at that point in time what I would be doing versus what I was, what I was going through my education for? Absolutely not. So I think as long as you are extremely curious, as long as you are staying in touch with what's important, as long as you know from a just from an earnestness perspective that you want to be part of the journey, then you will find your way. If I have to give an abstract answer, quite honestly, because it's very hard to come in and say, will computer science go away or computer engineering go away or will some other jobs go away? But I think each of these functions will evolve, and each of the functions, there are things that will be discovered which one may not be able to imagine now, versus what's going to happen 5 years or 10 years down the line. I can tell you with my journey, right? I wasn't clear at that point in time as to the mobile revolution would happen or not, as an example,
I
so but
think you and I had it easy though when we were trying to figure out what to study. We knew we were going to study something and we knew there was opportunity. Like we may not have known what field, but today there's a lot of anxiety with the what to, should I study? Should I go to school? What should I study? And I think that and I think you may share this point of view. I don't know, you can comment, but like AI will always be there and will always get better, as you stated, but still humans will leverage it as a tool to like build something, do something, improve something, create a product, create a service. And I just hope all these kids, whether they choose to go to school or not, it's more about like learning, critical thinking, understanding complexity and how to make things. Like I just hope that they don't not apply their mind, because it takes a lot of exercise of using your mind to get better. And so I just hope they don't throw the towel in. And so you've got to like choose something to study, so because you're exercising your mind, and all through that journey use AI because it changes every day, and then you could 10x whatever your ambitions are. But I don't know, what advice do you have, because I don't want
Yeah,
people not to not
no,
exercise their mind.
that's exactly right. When you listen to and you learn about stories where businesses are being built by one or two or three people and are scaling at a pace that would have taken 2 years and 5 years to scale. I mean, we all read about OpenClaw and what's happening with OpenClaw, as in what happened with OpenClaw, with regards to when it was launched and how it was acquired. I think we have to be, we clearly have to be watchful with regards to where things are going. I don't want to use the word fearful, but if we can understand that this is more of an opportunity for the folks, for the kids who are coming out of college, or the kids who are looking at this revolution or what's happening out here, if they think of this as an opportunity, then there's a world to conquer. And it can be done in a faster manner, and it can be done in a manner where there are so many tools that are available, which deemed were not available during our time, if you think about it. So I
Yeah,
think.
no doubt. I mean, it kind of like you talk about operational ownership versus handoff, and it kind of dovetails into this whole thought. Like, just you can't just hand off an AI tool without operational stewardship, like leads to decay. I think you said that. So what organizational structures, talent models are best suited to sustain AI systems once deployed? Which could also help some of these kids too. I mean, it'll help people in the middle of it now, but like, yeah, what are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I think it's about the concept that I was mentioning around service as a software. That concept was more around taking the end accountability for an outcome, and the outcome means either growing revenue or driving down cost or driving up efficiency or penetrating a market, so on. It's these type of business goals that are important, but taking accountability for that versus piece parts. Versus if I'm a SaaS company, I'll sell subscriptions to my platform and then I'll walk away, or I'll sell subscriptions to my platform and be responsible for customer success versus playing an important role in how my platform is being integrated into the organization so that there's right adoption and eventually there's a right outcome that needs to come in. I think to me, that's where the world is going with regards to services or software. So whether it's within the organization or whether it's a partner that's coming and working with a customer, the mindset has always got to do with owning the outcome, which is where we are going as a company. And for us, we are, in a way, we are lucky that we run operations. When you think of companies, if I'm a SaaS company and if I have to start running operations, it's a massive shift. And we've seen a number of companies do so. If you look at Salesforce, whether it's in this last Dreamforce or the one before that, they fired a salvo and they declared that Agentforce is front and center. So they were moving away from just being a SaaS company to becoming a service as a software company. We are seeing the same thing across a number of players, whether it's tech players, whether it's consulting companies. We've been lucky that we've been running operations. We have deep relationships with our customers. We understand the complexity of doing the work. So we're not looking at happy path, in terms of how things are being done. And then by taking accountability or bringing in technology and bringing in agentic to go and drive operations, we are seeing that we can come in and make a significant impact without diluting the core value of what we're doing and how we're working.
Yeah, that's great. And so like everyone has to kind of like balance innovation and risk. Like how do you look about that? Like how leaders should balance innovation, but yet there's a lot of risk with compliance, data leakage, security, but you want speed. But like how do you manage deployment of new tech and AI and all its capabilities and incredible ways it and to inject intelligence and automation, but yet there's a lot of like risk in there. Like, how do you manage that?
Yeah, sometimes risk could also be overstated, Dean. For example, you might remember when the world was moving from traditional software to SaaS, there was an issue around security. And then oftentimes for the companies that were building a SaaS platform, they were more concerned about security. And quite honestly, SaaS platforms were more secure than custom applications that were being built, where the entire infrastructure needed to be managed by the company or otherwise. So in the same way, when you look at how organizations, when you think of someone like us, when we are coming and bringing in an agentic platform, which is more end state, right? We are not coming and saying we are building a foundation model. We are leveraging the foundation models and all of the innovation that's taking place, and we are making it very relevant for an industry. In our case, it's media and entertainment. In our case, it's around media, marketing, and sales. What you're mentioning is something that we think about first. Right. So, for example, if there's an organization that is working with a foundation model company where they've gotten themselves comfortable with the privacy, security, and so on, then we will leverage that. So we're not coming and saying that we're going to bring in something which may be contrary to what you're looking at, where you've not kicked the tires as an organization and gotten yourself comfortable around it. But I think as these innovations come in, the places where people have the biggest questions are the places where these organizations will invest more so to make sure that's okay.
Yeah, I think there's more risk with AI than the SaaS companies. I agree with you, like DevOps, SaaS companies, security. I mean, you have a very concentrated, high-end, educated teams doing all that where a lot of enterprises can't attract or afford those skill sets in their own organization. But like when you deal with customers, so AI, you want to feed AI context, you want to feed AI data. You want to feed it good data, and then it can come with good plans and good analysis and good execution. But do your customers worry about, oh, our data is leaking, our knowledge is leaking, our how will that? And then that's one question. And then when things run agentically, you can have, I mean, you kind of answer that like human in the loop. So, but still, more and more, I'm sure your customers are going to be like, well, I want to. That bottleneck of human in the loop, I want you to go more agentic, please. You know, I'm sure you're having to deal with this every day. Like, what are your points of view there?
So two parts. So one is who keeps control of what is happening? And then the second part is how do we drive, privacy, security, so on and so forth. I think in terms of who keeps control, whether a function or a task can be completed 30, whether 30% of the task or 80% of the task, or for that matter, 100% of the task is completed, what we believe is that humans always need to be in control. That is super important, and it becomes more so depending upon the criticality of the task and the impact of the task. If you're making a significant revenue decision or a buy decision, then you can't make it, I use the word auto magic, right? You can't just make it, autonomous where there's a system that's just doing that, and before you know it, it's too late. So I believe that the amount of agentic adoption that could be done and how you strategically integrate workflows or agentic into workflows, that is not contrary to how humans can control it and how humans can keep a tab of it. If you think of it as a star network where you've got agents working on the ends, but then you still have the human that's in the middle that's controlling it. I think that's something that's really important. That's what we lead with, and then we see that that provides significant amount of comfort and trust for our customers because they know that they are realizing the value of agentic, but they're not losing control, whether it's through hallucination or whether it's through, incorrect or tertiary decisions that are being made. But I think that's one part. Now, how that will evolve and how much of the work is going to be agentic versus otherwise, we know that those things will change over time. But at any
Yeah.
point in time, the humans have to be in control. I think that's the first part. I think the second part is, all of these companies, whether it's the foundation model companies, or whether it's the, cloud providers that are getting into that, I think everyone is working towards providing options that address what you're mentioning, which is the data leaking into, into another organization and so on. So I think those are places that are being solved today. So, whether it's around using VPCs or creating a foundation model, or whether it's private cloud, I've had conversations with a number of people and they've spoken about private cloud and how that could be used. They've also spoken about specific foundation models, which are smaller, as we all know, which could be far more effective for a particular task where you could keep it under control versus providing all of your company's historical data to a foundation model that could be used by someone else. So I think those things are being addressed by each of these organizations in a significant manner. I think it's important for us as an organization to adopt it in line with what we are comfortable with, and in line with what has been proven, versus taking a massive risk as a part of it.
Yeah, I think the market and your customers will push you to more agentic, more automation, more speed as trust builds and they want competitive advantage. And I'm curious, like at what point do like token cost or budgeting for token execution across every role and responsibility in an enterprise, like when does it start to become as high as payroll, or salary budgeting? Like what? Do you have any thoughts around that? I mean,
No, absolutely. I mean, that becomes an important part of the business case. Spot on,
yeah.
right? Because if the if there is no business case, you're just replacing A with B. It's just that with A you had control with people and payroll costs. With B you have no control, right? With regards to what the consumption that will take place and what you do. So
Wait, B is no control, is the AI? Is that your B or yeah.
I mean, if you're writing a if you're deploying an agentic model where there is massive amount of chatter that's taking place, which drives significant amount of token consumption, we've seen this also. Then you start to lose a pulse on what it means from a business case perspective. We've seen the same thing in cloud. As a CEO of a SaaS company earlier, I've seen cloud costs go up,
Yeah.
and oftentimes there is
You better
limited
watch it. You gotta watch it. Yeah.
Exactly. So those are very
We're all
important.
gonna have these. Even though we want to, we'll all have runaway token costs, but we gotta watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So how about you? Looking 3 to 5 years, what do you think the most transformative trend's gonna happen with data, AI, reshaping revenue operations?
Like I was mentioning, we I'm based in San Francisco. I talk to a lot of my friends and colleagues who are in the tech industry, fellow colleagues, and what we know is that things are going to change really fast. Now, if I have to predict what's going to happen 3, 5 years from now, quite honestly, Dean, I'll be fooling myself
Let
because
me say 12 months then, 12 months.
I believe that this is the year. I absolutely believe that this is the year where AI is going to be integrated into operations in a strategic and meaningful manner. I believe so. When you look at all of the experimentation that is being done or was done last year, I believe that that's going to happen. And it is important to ride the wave, and it's important to be on the front end or be on the offensive in terms of being able to go and drive that. That's what I believe. I'm seeing that a number of execs, when I speak to them, it is less about cost, quite honestly. It's more about speed, it's more about effectiveness, and it's more about being
Definitely.
relevant to their customers. So as long as it's being adopted in the manner where you can see organizations drive revenue or significant impact to their business, I think that's the way to go. And it's going to happen this year. There are no questions about
Yeah,
it.
no doubt. I agree. And like, here's a, I'm curious about this. Like, do you think Wall Street overreacted to Claude Coworker? And like, what are your thoughts there?
Isn't it always so? Isn't it always so? Haven't people said that people overestimate things in the short run and underestimate in the long run? So I think, things that happen all the time. But this is where I think for organizations, I believe, Dean, if we can stay away from the FOMO, we can keep our heads down, we can leverage the innovation, we can see how we can integrate that into our workflows and go ring the bell. I think that's the best way to move forward versus we have to keep an eye on what's going on, but getting distracted with all of the news that's coming up every single day.
It's so distracting. I mean, you have to almost not listen to it anymore. The headlines are so sensational, and I agree. Just understand where everything's at, keep leveraging it in your go-to-market, understand the risk, and speed and competitive advantage is so important. But yeah, like Elon Musk saying there's no developers in 12 months, that's just not true. I mean, who better than developers to like orchestrate intelligence into the enterprise or into the economy? Those are that's like a critical thought process and skill set that architects have, but like, what are your thoughts there? Yeah, it writes our code, but it's not gonna like, I don't know, what are your thoughts there?
I was speaking to someone yesterday. I didn't hear this, but they were saying that the CEO of DeepMind said exactly what you were saying, which is the developers, computer science and developers will exist because someone needs to be there to do exactly what you mentioned. So my take is that as long as we know that we are staying close to what's happening, and we can adopt it in a fast manner, we know that we can win from the innovation that is taking place versus getting rolled over or becoming a roadkill as a part of that. So, what's going to happen and how far it will go is based on the innovation that's going to unroll. And we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's great practical advice, and it's just really good to hear from you because you've been so in so many tech companies and operational roles and leadership roles that people need to hear this sensible, well-grounded thought process. It's like stay close, understand what's happening, leverage it, and yeah, you'll be fine.
Exactly.
That's probably also good for the kids to hear too. It's just stay
Yeah,
close to it, keep learning. And you'll be fine. There's gonna be so many jobs for you. It's study something, It's like, but
exactly.
what was there a question I didn't ask you that you wanted to share with the audience?
I think you covered the points with regards to how we should look at the innovation that's coming in, especially for enterprises. What I've seen is every organization wants to make progress with regards to innovation. There's not a single company that will not come in and say, I want to adopt AI. I think it's our responsibility as partners to lead the way and at the same time be flexible so that we could co-innovate because there are constraints that every company has, there are policies that every company has that they want to comply with. How can we make sure that we are not coming in and saying it's either our way or we are not able to help you? Coming and saying we will be part of the journey and we will lead with our thought leadership, we will lead with innovation, but our goal is to make you progress and see how we can go there.
Yeah, I mean, that's so important to culturally understand the organization's capabilities and strengths, and like that's a very practical way to like help them get to the next level, but not just think you're just gonna make everything elite. I mean, none of us deal in that world, even if you think you have an elite organization.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Exactly.
awesome. Well, yeah, I really enjoyed this conversation. And how can people get in touch with you or reach out to you?
They can reach out on my official email. It's my first name at mediamin.com. I'll be glad to.
Okay. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Dean.
Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot, post it to your favorite social platform, or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen. And if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida and Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.